This is God's word for God's people this morning. I'm reading for your hearing out of just one passage of scripture in Luke, the 10th chapter and the 19th verse. Luke 10 and 19. Say amen if you're there. Luke 10, young folk, you should have your, open up your Bibles. We're waiting on you. You won't know God until you read his word and it gets saturated in your spirit. Because you're going to need this against the enemy. And we are a word church. Amen. Okay, this church is built on prayer and word. Not formality, not what other folk are doing. I don't care about that. I care about the word of God. I really do. Because when all else fails, the word will still stand. Luke, the 10th chapter and the 19th verse. King James Version. One verse of scripture. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. God's word one more time. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. God bless this word. Oh, saturate the hearts of the people in this place. Permeate their hearts, God. Penetrate their minds. Yea, that the word will sustain, that it would be something that is ingrained within us, that we can comprehend it, understand it, and apply it in the name of Jesus. The enemy knows the word and trembles. Yea, God, strengthen us as soldiers in this army. Yo, God, we are ambassadors of God, the Most High God. Strengthen us on our journey as we hear the word, oh God. We not only want to be hearers of the word, but we want to be doers of the word, God. Meet us where we're at. You know where we're weak at already, God. Meet us where we at, oh God, and we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Oh God, I pray that I would decrease, bring all scripture to remembrance. Oh God, that it may be given out in power. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and let every heart say amen.
Amen.
Amen. The title of this message is Our God is a God of War. And I just began to think about how God is. We always talk about how harmonious he is, how peaceful God is, how loving God is. But let's look at God from the Old Testament perspective, that our God is a God of war. What was he doing during that time? And as I was reading through Numbers and Deuteronomy, I've been reading, I've been studying the history in there. And the areas that I've been going to of the other tribes and the other individuals during that time, such as the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, all those other individuals that came in to attack the Israelites as they were coming into the promised land that God had already selected his people for and said that this shall come to fruition. So when God speaks it, it shall come to pass. But just because he spoke it doesn't mean that the trials will not come. Oh, because the trials are coming. It's inevitable that they will come. These other tribes and other individuals were morally corrupt. They wanted to, and they were out to destroy the Israelites. That's what their passion was, their mission was. But God did not set the Israelites out to conquer other individuals. He didn't tell them to do that. And he said to those folk too, he says, I'm putting you in a place where I'm putting a border around you. I'm protecting you. What I've done already in times past, I want you to understand that I'm the same God of yesterday, today, and forevermore. I change not, but you do. Oh, and so when you change, you move me into this position that I have to, because my children have not been obedient. And all I'm asking you for, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. That's what God has said to the people. He's saying to them, I'll protect you. I'll put the borders up around you and clear the pathway for you so the other individuals can't even come in and attack you. If you just remain obedient. Remain. That's the word there. Remain obedient from all this corruption that will be around you. And then he begins to tell the people, and I'll defend you. I am your God. I am the great I am. I'll defend you. I'm there for you. That's what he's saying to them. He says to them in Deuteronomy 20 and 10,
When thou comest nigh into the city to fight against it, then proclaim peace upon it. He says, now before you even go to war, I want you to declare peace. That's profound. Don't just go to war just because the other individuals are against you. Make an attempt to declare peace amongst them. And if not, then I've given you the ability and the resources to protect yourself. Y'all better hear me, church. Well, he's the same God of yesterday, today, and forevermore. And he's saying, I put a hedge of protection around them. And what are we? Are we not his selected people, a peculiar people? What is he saying to the church today? Church, you've got to hear. Hear he with an ear. Let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. Oh, and we are God's people. He's saying, I am a Lord of war. I'm the Lord of war. In his word, he's saying, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. That's what Exodus says over in 15:3. And he says over in 1 Chronicles 5:22, he says, for there fell down many slain because the war was of God. And they dwelt in their steads until the captivity. That's what he's saying to them. War, as we see it, is a terrible thing. You know, when I'm praying, I've learned to alter my prayer. And I no longer say, Lord, withhold your hand from the war. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, because in these days, in these evil times, these things must take place. There are so many things that must take place that when we're praying about it, that's not going to happen. Because that's not what God has planned. But there's a prayer that we can pray as we go on and we're ministering God's word. We're going to talk about that. There are prayers that we can pray that during this time of war that God can protect. My Lord, oh my God, and he can move you out of a situation, my Lord. So that's what we want God to do for us, because there will be wars and rumors of wars consistently until the second coming of Christ. That's what the word is saying for us. War is always a result of sin. Oh, he was saying to the children, I'm asking you to be obedient. I'm giving you laws that are applicable to the land. I'm giving you judges as you've asked me for. I've given you the king that you've asked me for. And the prophet shall prophesy in the land from the auspices and under the power of the Holy Ghost. I'll minister for you and to the people of God before the word is delivered. I'll minister through the prophets. My God, you got to hear what God is saying. Oh, he says in Ecclesiastes, there's a time for everything. There's a time to love. There's a time to hate. There's a time for war and there's a time for peace. But we're talking about God being a God of war now. So as God did battle for them then, I'm saying, God, there are moments and times that I need you to go to war for me. Yeah, God, most important for us to understand what the Bible is saying. When he's saying, I want you to pray this prayer, he says, I want you to pray for godly leaders and that God would give them wisdom, and for generals and ambassadors that would be strategic as they are lining up the battlefield. We've got to be able to understand that. Safety for our military, safety for opponents on both ends, because we want to pray for all souls that they would be covered. We want to pray, praying for a quick resolution sometimes, because going into war may be this man's idea, but this may not be what God fully intended. So he's saying, before you even go to war, that he even gave instructions to the Israelites, come to the table and let's try to make peace in the land. Instructions have been given, but are we following them, because we're so quick to act out on our own emotions? When we have relationships with other individuals and things happen with us, the first thing we do, we get angry and we put them to the side. We say, I'm not going to speak to them any longer. But God has given us instructions. He says that if ye have aught with your brother, you ought to take it to them. He's talking about a reconciling, a resolution to have some kind of peace first before their separation. Oh, he's speaking to us, church, but are we listening? He says in Philippians 4:6-7, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made unto the Lord. And then he goes on and says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Oh, I'm kept in God. I'm kept under the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm kept because Jesus died for me and rose again. I'm kept because of the presence of the Comforter. Oh, he'll keep our hearts and our minds if we keep our minds what? Stayed on him. We got to keep our minds stayed on him. God had order that he had given in the land, but sometimes we want to do what we want to do. But he had already given the instructions for the Israelites when he had already given the law. When they came out of Egypt, he had already given them the instructions over in the Old Testament. He says, when you go into this land, and let's use the Midianites, they're gonna come in and try to conquer you, but, I'll take vengeance upon the land. You don't have to do anything. Helps me to understand what is God saying to the church today. Vengeance is mine, said the Lord, not yours. But a lot of times we want to intervene for God and we think we can do it better than God. My Lord, so I'll tell this individual off because now I've grown, I've matured, and I've got a boldness like never before. But God didn't say, he said, peace be still. Oh, God is speaking to the church. Oh, we've got to hear what God is saying. He says, I don't need you to do my work for me. I didn't send you to be a sacrifice. Oh, I just asked you to be a facilitator and to get in your place. Line up with the word of God. Let's hear the Lord speak, church. Oh, so God is saying to them over in Numbers and Deuteronomy, he said, God said, go and completely destroy those wicked, those Amalekites, those Midianites, and make war on them until you have wiped them out. God said to wipe them out completely. Wipe them out in the land, for they are different kind of people. They're not the chosen people. They don't serve God like I've served God. They're serving other gods, doing other things. He said, then we got to be able to understand that. So now we're under grace and dispensation. So what is God saying to the new church in the New Testament? He's saying to us, I got you. Jesus saying, as always, he's in perfect agreement with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It speaks about them being as one over in Matthew. He's saying to them, even in this day and time, I got you because I'm in agreement with the Father and I'll wipe them out for you. You don't have to do anything. Oh, let's make note to that. Let's comprehend. Then let's understand what God's order is and what shall take place. Over in Revelations in the 19th chapter, God begins to, John is writing and he writes and he talks about, and the sky opens up. And when the sky opens up, I see the white horse. And in the white horse, I see, he who is called faithful at the head of the pack. And he shall take order and make judgment and war upon the earth. So the war that we had in times past and what we're having now is nothing compared to the magnitude of what the war would be like. He says, and it would be gory and bloody. And as we go through the 11th through the 16th verse and how the enemy, how Jesus would take hold of Satan and his imps. My God, we've got to know God's word. My God is a God of war. Yes, he is. So I begin to think about an example of what God has done. Think about how God continues to bless his people. Think about how God does things in nature, out in the elements of what he's doing. My Lord, let's think about that. Which one is it? Pardon me. Not that. My God. I'm moving on. An example of what God has done, how he works with nature. This is how I think about it. Mama eagles are caring and loving creatures when we're thinking about the eagles. And what does she do? When she is, she has young ones and she says to them, I need you to be strengthened. I need you to have the ability to fly on your own. After so many weeks and time, and this is in nature that she knows what to do. So she takes the fledging, which is her young babies, and she takes them up in the sky and she drops them down, but she goes over to another side and she watches them as she drops them down. And then if they don't fly, she goes down and swoops them up. And then she does this again. and again until they learn how to fly. Right. My God, look what God has done for us. My God, because life is cyclical sometimes until we get it. And we ask God, why am I in this same situation all the time? Because we never got it in the first time. Oh, so Mama Eagle takes this and she says, here are my babies that I love. God is saying, you are my children that I love. I got you covered already. You got to be able to comprehend that. So she takes them and drops them down. And then she swoops them up. Oh, God. Think about this, how the Lord bore the Israelites on eagle's wings. They had no food. So he swooped down and what did he do? He provided for them manna. My God. When Moses faced the Red Sea, what did he do? He swooped down and parted it and opened it up. When the walls came falling down and tumbling down in Jericho, he swooped down with the promise that they had already made to Rahab, and he saved her and her family. When David was facing the giant and he was looking around, they were saying, what is David going to kill and slay the giant with? He dropped just one stone for him to do what had to be done. When you're wandering in this lost life, what does he do? He swoops down and says, you're my child. I got you covered. He says, I've already got you covered in the blood of the Lamb. Hey, we got to understand this. A true testament that God is with us. When God freed them out of Egypt, what did he do for them? There was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night that he did have overseeing over them for over 40 years. Not just one temporary time, but it was with them. Now, what kind of God does that? My Lord Jesus, that he had them covered by day and by night. So now you got the someone guiding you by day to get to the promised land. Oh, where you need to go. And then by night he says, I got you covered because I'm going to protect you. What does fire do? It illuminates. It protects, yay, God. Oh, God, it warms up. Yes, it does. And it destroys anything else in its path. So nothing can come in and nothing can go out. God says, I got you covered. Oh, I'm a God of war. You got to be able to comprehend and understand what God is saying. So this is a true testament of who God has already shown and proved himself to be. And can the people not see? So I say to the church today, oh, we've got to begin to see with the eyes of God what God is saying to the church. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. He constantly comes to remind us, and this is what we say, oh, in my sanctified soul, I begin to say, my God is faithful. Woo! Bless the name of Jesus. My God is faithful. Yay, yay, yay. My God is faithful. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Even when I can't comprehend, even when things are not going the way that I want it to do, oh, God, even when there's a struggle in my home, oh, God, oh, but my God is faithful. Even when my bank account is low. Mike, oh, when I don't have a job, my God, when I can't see my way, my God is faithful. Yes, he is. Oh, he's that kind of God. Yes, he is. He never leaves or forsakes. That's the word that he has put in our hearts. So when I'm in a storm, I need to turn around and say, my God has already promised me that he wasn't going to leave me. My God has already promised me that he was going to carry me through the storm. Oh, when there's war going on my job and I can't understand it, I go in now praying a prayer of faith. When I walk in the door, God, you got me covered. Oh, when the enemy comes over in this area, Jesus, put a shield up around me. Keep my mouth closed, Jesus, and you speak on my behalf. Have the enemy see the God in me, because I don't want to attack them verbally, but you got my back, God. My God is a God of war. Woo! Jesus. Yay! My God is a God of war. Oh, we got to understand it. There's no room for doubting. Hey, God is saying to the church, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Yee! My God is saying, there's no room for doubting. None whatsoever. No room for unbelief. None whatsoever. What's the difference there? Because there's a variance. Here, doubting is an uncertainty and it's not a sin. Not at all. Because see, what happens with us when we come into Christianity, we're so in tune with being perfect. Right. And God is saying for the church, I want you to strive for perfection. Let me take out the impurities. Let me wash you and make you clean. Adhere to my word and I'll strengthen you and give you just what you need. That's what he's saying to the church, my God. But then he says, unbelief is a sin. For the unbeliever shall die in their sins. That's what the word says. So the word says to me over in Mark, the 9th chapter, 23 and 24. This is God's word for God's people. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. He began to say, now what has happened? Jesus had already been with James, Peter, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. They had already gone through that. Then they had assembled themselves with the people of God. And as they were amongst the crowd, there was one brother that cried out, hey, Jesus, I need some help. See, that's how we do in our minds, cry out loud when we're calling somebody else, my God, in my body, something's going on. Jesus, I need some help. But he spoke out amongst everybody else because, see, it was mandatory for him. There was a need for him that he was crying out. Can you save my son? Yeah, God. He had a dumb spirit upon him. He was gashing at himself, tearing things apart, walking out into the fire to burn himself, not even thinking about it. See, that's how the enemy has us. The enemy got our minds trapped, my God. Trapped. He comes into our minds because we allow him to come in, and then we take it to the next level as we communicate it out in the atmosphere, because the Bible says that the devil is the prince of the air. Oh, so the more we talk about it, the more it becomes magnified. Yay, God. So he was tearing at himself. He was going over into the fire and burning himself. He was walking in water and trying to drown himself. He says, but Jesus, can you not? And Jesus responded to him, hey, what are you saying? What's going on? I'm here. And he began to tell Jesus, hey, I talked to the brethren that you've already assembled called the disciples, but they can't save him. They said they cannot cast this demon out. Oh, I need some help, Jesus. And Jesus began to say to him, if thou canst believe. Oh, so what is God saying to the church? Only if you can believe. Every chair is filled in the church already in Jesus' name. There's no lack for God's house. I begin to tell God, this is your house. This is your mission. I'm just standing here as a facilitator. What God says is what I shall do. And it's not my way any longer, but I had to bend myself. Oh, he had to make me flexible to the will of God. That's what God is saying to the church. I need you to be bent. Woo! I need you to be turned around. Yay, God. I need to correct some things in the church because everybody's listening to everybody else, but you're not listening to the word of God. Oh, he with an ear, let him hear what God is saying to the church. Because God is speaking to the church. He says, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. He began to speak back to God. Every now and then we got to speak back to God. God, help me where I was yesterday. I'm not there today, my God. For that struggle has come to make me stronger. For now I truly believe. Can you not do this work for me, Jesus? Woo, Holy Ghost. Can you not do this work for me? Because I believe like never before. Oh, God, I'm not where I was yesterday. And us in God, God is saying to us, no longer on the bottle. I need you to give up the bottle. There are no more babies up in here. And it's not based upon your age and how long you've been in God. He's saying to the church, if you just pick up your word, you're mature in me. That's what he's saying. So we don't have to have an excuse. I've been saved 1 year. I've been saved 2 years. I've been saved 5 years. Oh no, that's not the excuse anymore. He's saying, pick up your word, church. Time to pick up your church. Young folk need to pick up your word. Have you been reading your word? My God. Cause it's all going to tell in time. Cause the enemy is coming to attack you. You need to understand any child that's under Christendom and any child that's under a parent or a guardian that's saved, my God, he's coming to attack you. My God. He comes to get you first to get to us, my Lord. So, but what you've got to understand is that you've got to learn how to cover yourself.
because I can only do so much. Oh, my God. But if you get God's word down on the inside of you, you'll be covered, because he says he has no respect of persons. Oh, he'll cover you and he'll keep you if you want to be kept. War in the Old Testament. What was happening in the Old Testament? Oh, God, God offered peace to them. He said, I need you to offer peace to other individuals. But he said, but when I tell you to go into a land, I'm telling you to take it all. Leave nothing, no spoils whatsoever. To take everything, burn down everything, kill everything off, because everything is corrupt. So that helps me to understand. Let's look at the spirituality of it all. God is saying to the church, I need you to cut that thing out from the root. My God, you can't play with the enemy. You can't say, yes, I'll just dabble a little bit today, and or no, I won't do this tomorrow, or I'll see Tom and I know that I should not do this, and we may get wrapped up and we may kiss and we may hug or whatever else. My God, and children, it got to understand, mama didn't lie when she said one thing leads to another. It does, because it gets good to you, because this flesh. And Paul said, in this flesh dwells no good thing. We've got to begin to understand that. Oh, a war in the Old Testament. What was happening? He said, destroy with every sword, every living thing that's going on. He spoke to Joshua, for it was the Lord himself who hardened their hearts to wage against Israel. We'll talk about, why did God harden their hearts? What was the point of that all? Harden their hearts. He began to say to them, if a wicked man turns away from all the sins he has committed and keeps all my decrees and does what is just and right, he will surely live. That's what he's speaking to the people out of Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, verse 21 and 23. He begins to tell them, not only am I a God of war, but I'm a God of mercy as well. But the people have got to do something. God is saying to the church, you just can't get something for nothing. Because a lot of times we come up in here, we think we want to get something for nothing. There's a sacrifice that has to be made, because he already made the ultimate sacrifice. My God, there's something for us to have to do. My Lord, he's saying to us, he says to the church, I want you to repent and live. Repent and live. Oh, what happened to those individuals, and why was there so much war going on through that time? What was happening during that time? He's saying to them, the children were sacrificed as pagan gods. Other individuals were sacrificing their children from pagan gods. They were serving all kind of pagan gods. There were male and female prostitution going on in the land and in temples that they were idolizing gods at in that area. Worshiping was at the all-time highest, and the society was contaminated. Evilness was contagious throughout the land. If a person thought it, they did it. What's happening today? If they're thinking, they're doing. People don't have no scruples, no morals, no nothing. They do anything, anywhere, anytime, don't matter who's looking. And people will say, I don't care either. Do you have any scruples at all? Do you have any self-respect about yourself? My Lord Jesus, you have to remember what you do now carries weight to who you'll be later. I tell my children, don't put anything on social media. You can't put that, follows you for the rest of your life. People remember those things out there. Mikhail is applying for a school right now for summer interns or summer school and a college already. They asked him to put on there your what? What would they ask you to put on there? His Twitter and his Instagram. They want to view it. Children, you can't put anything on there. You can't say and say anything on there. They want it on there. They want to go and review what you put out there already. When you're taking jobs, that may be a part of what the entry is into that job, that they'll go out and look at what you put out there. We feel that this is my life, but that follows you for the rest of your life. So we need to set standards and goals for ourselves. My God, my Lord, that's what God is saying for the church. Time to take back. This is what I want to say. Even though the enemy has come in, and he comes in like a flood, but God says that I come to give you life in abundance. Not just life, but life in abundance is what he says for the people of God. But we've got to hear God and to be consumed by the word of God and know that the promises are now. My God, what is 150,000 promises? In the word of God. No, 30,000 promises in the word of God. 30,000 promises in the word of God. Amazing.
Amazing. Satan is on his job in the business of ripping us apart and tearing us down, stealing our spiritual treasures because we allow him to come in. He can't come in unless you let him. My God. He can't come in unless you let him. People are empty, so much void in individuals because they're looking for love in all the wrong places, doing all the other things to say, I want to fill this time up with, but nobody wants to turn to God. I tell the folks, somebody is communicating with me, you'll communicate with me temporarily if you got a problem, because what I'm going to do after you keep on talking to me, I'm going to let you slide two or three times, but by the third time, I'm going to text you back and tell you, now you need to try God. I need to direct you to the Word of God. I need to give you some word because now you need to start talking to Jesus because I can't help you. But God can. Because folk are looking for folk, pastors, to cry on their shoulders. Oh, I'm going through this. Oh, I'm going through something too. But I've learned to depend on God. I need to lead you to the source so that you know that anytime in the nighttime hour on Friday night, I had my face toward the wall at 11, 12 o'clock and I was crying out to God on a Friday night. Well, that's what I was doing. Oh, God, I need to hear from heaven. I'm at a standstill, God. I need to hear from you. See, if you don't put your face there and you don't petition him, you can't hear from him. My Lord, we got to get ready. So what God is saying, even though I'm a God of war and the enemy has come in many of our camps and he has taken from us, God is saying it's time now to take back what the enemy has stolen. Oh, I want to give you the keys, he says, and I want you to understand that you're not doing this thing alone. I understand that God is with us during this time. What happened to David in the land of Ziklag when he went in and the Amalekites came in and took everything, all the spoils, and even took David's first and second wife, took both of them and killed all of the other folk that were with him, their families, but all the men were together. The men were so angry and they were angry with David, what had transpired. They wanted to stone David, but David went to the prophet, turned to the prophet, and the prophet said, now go consult God. He went and consulted God, and God told him, he says, I'm in courage through God. Every now and then when trouble arises, God don't want you or I to get on the telephone and call anybody else up. God is saying, turn your face toward the wall and begin to pray. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, he gave the instructions, so David encouraged himself. That's what he did. God often uses warfare as an instrument of justice. He uses it also to demonstrate his grace. He uses it to portray in the Old Testament his tremendous patience and his grace and his compassion. We don't see it like that, but God is all in all of that. At the beginning of this, I began to read the Word of God out of Luke 10 and 19. Let's go there for a minute. My Lord Jesus, what is God saying to us as a church? Because now he's saying, even though I'm a God of war, I positioned you as an ambassador to be able to take back what the enemy has stolen. So he says to us in his word in Luke 10 and 19, he says, behold, before I ascended, and I left with you power. He said, power, dunamis, yea, behold, I give unto you the church power, yea, to tread upon the serpents and the scorpions. Now think about this, a serpent that's moving all about and a scorpion who's looking up to sting you at any time. He's saying to the church, you are petrified that the serpent and the scorpion can't even sting you. Oh, you can tread and walk right on them, and kill them with the power of God. Oh, that's what he's saying to the church. We got to hear God speak. He said, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon the serpents and the scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, over all the power of the enemy, because God is with us, his church. He's saying to us, what does this word power mean to us? Yay, God. The ability or the right to control things. A political control of a country or an area, a person or organization that has a lot of control and influence. He's saying to the church, now I've made you the head and not the tail.
the lender, not the borrower. Oh, I heard a pastor say this week, he was saying, my tithing is $100,000 for 2015. My tithing was $100,000 for 2015. And all he does in the church is collect tithing, go about, do other things. Don't take anything elaborate from the church at all. He says, my tithing was $100,000. God is saying to the church that we shall be the lender and not the borrower. Oh, help thou my unbelief. Oh, help me. Help me, God, that I would believe. And so everything that I put my hands to shall come to fruition this year. Oh, we got to speak it into the atmosphere. I began to read the book, Command Your Morning. So I began to command my atmosphere, and I began to speak to it in the atmosphere. Lord, I claim victory over the church. Oh, everyone that walks into the church shall be blessed. Yea, God, that we shall be restorers, imparting into someone else's life, that the word of God would strengthen us and it would overwhelm us, my Lord, that we can speak it in season and out of season. My God, we are consumed by the power of God. So God is saying to the church, behold, I give unto you power. Yea, God, because my God is a God of war. Yes, he is. Oh, dunamis is the Greek word for power. Dunamis is used 120 times in the word of God in the New Testament, meaning I give you strength. I give you ability. I give you authority, church. My God, you got to walk in this power. Oh, what am I saying to the church? I give you the miraculous power of the Holy Ghost working down in you, through you, on my behalf, because you are called my children. Yay, God, bless the church. My God, dunamis is beyond what we think of as in our morals. It's the excellence of God working for the people of God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, then we have, let's go back to David over in 1 Samuel in the 30th chapter, and how David began still to talk to the Lord. He began to ask the Lord from before he went into war, as he paused right there and the other men wanted to stone him. David was still standing there and said, Lord, what must I do? And the prophet spoke to him, as I had already reiterated, and the prophet began to say to David, go and seek God. And so I say to the church, when trouble arises, let's go and seek God. Turn your face toward the wall and let's wait to hear from God. But oftentimes what we don't want to do as a church, we don't want to wait. But David waited until he heard from God. David asked the Lord, and the Lord said to him, I shall pursue. He told him that at this moment, at this very time, strategically, that you shall pursue the land. Yeah. Yay, God. God is speaking. And the church has to hear. Oh, God says to him, I want you to go out and to kill everything in the land. So he waited till the Amalekites went in the nighttime and they were celebrating over all the spoils of everything that they had already taken from the Philistines, and how they had gone through the other various lands and wiped out everything and had already killed the Israelites and killed all of David's people and all the his soldiers' wives and children, killed everything. And he took his two wives captives. Oh, y'all stay with me, church. My God. And so they went in and they slew the people. The word of God says that they fought until the morning time to take everything back what the Lord had given them, and they were blessed. And David was able to capture back, take the best of the spoils of what they had already taken from the Philistines, and recapture all that he had already had. Not only did God give him his own, but God gave him plenty, gave him more than what he had before, and he was still able to get his wives back, the both of their lives. Now, why am I telling you this story? My God. Oh, because it's a moment that only happened to David, oh God. And when he chose to, what did he choose to do? My God, church, in order for us to get involved in war, sometimes we're not just moving on our own accord. We're moving under the auspices of the power of the Holy Ghost. We got to wait, because David waited. He paused for a moment, and then the Holy Ghost spoke to him and said, pursue. And he went in and took the land. So we've got to wait to hear from God, so God could work to us. So there is something that we have to do at the appointed moment. When God speaks, we got to get up and go.
But you got to go at the divine hour that God says go. So he commanded him and he says, get up and go, because this is the moment for you to seize all. He didn't just give him all of his spoils back. He gave him more than enough. And so that's what God is saying to the church. I am the God that healeth thee. I am the God that preserved thee. I am the God that sanctifies, saves, oh God. I am the God that performs the miraculous on behalf of the people of God. If thou only and only believe. Oh, got to hear the Lord speak to the church. If you only believe God, speak my God. So what is he saying? He's saying to the church today. Today we need to say to the church, I'm not giving up. Oh, I'm not giving up on that son, Jesus. I'm not giving up on that daughter, my God. I'm not giving up on that spouse, my God. I'm not giving up on that friend. I'm not giving up on that family member, my God, because God has spoken to me through his word. And my God said, get up and go. Oh, it's time to pursue. He with an ear, let him hear. Because God is speaking to the church. Oh, my God. My God is a God of war. He, Jesus. My God is saying to the church, you have potential. You have life. And that more abundantly. Oh, God is saying, he says, resist. And fight back. He didn't say, resist, resist. He says, resist, and the enemy shall flee from you. Let me change that. Resist, and the enemy will flee from you. That's what God is saying. Resist, but you resist through the power of God. You resist when you put peace out there first. Follow peace and holiness, God says, without which no man shall see the Lord. He didn't just say holiness. He said, follow peace. Now I begin to comprehend it and understand it, because he put peace before the Israelites first, before there was war. But when it's time to do war, because you couldn't reconcile, you got to go in and cut it out from the root. So we can't play with the enemy any longer in our homes. We can't play with him on our job. My God, it's time to take back what the enemy has stolen. My God, he said to the church, I've given you the potential and the resources to move forth, because my God is a God of war. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. God comes to revive and to give you life. The fire of God is stirred up in the people of God. He renews our relationships. Oh, he will bring faith back through his word. Yea, God brings faith back through his word, the word of God. He says, so then faith cometh by hearing what? And hearing the word of God. Yea, God. We've got to understand that our God is a God of war. And at the appointed time, he'll tell you to pursue so that you can kill off the enemy. We've got to understand the power of God. So before you pursue it, he said, try to make peace first. Peace first. Follow peace and holiness. Follow peace and holiness. I've given you the ingredients for you to be successful. I've given you the ingredients if ye be willing and obedient. I've given you the ingredients that if you're obedient, resist the enemy and he shall flee from you. I've given you just what you need in my word. For I am a God of war. Bless the Lord and his word. Oh God, bless the Lord and his word. Oh, bless Jesus. We bless you, God. We have to understand, my God, so often we are preaching the sermons on peace and harmonious, how harmonious God is, and prosperity, my God. But there are times when we have to fight. I've learned that